Okay, today's daf is Babasra daf Kuf Ayin. We left off in daf Kuf Samach Tes Amud Beis. We're at the two dots. Kuf Samach Tes Amud Beis, about 10 lines from the bottom of the page. So the Gemara brings up the machlokas that we had yesterday. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Anosi Matan al Chaveru vehechzi lo es hashtar, Chazra Matanasa vechamra Matanasa kiyames. If Reuven gives Shimon a matana with a shtar, so he gives him a shtar matana to be makne the matana to him, and then Shimon returns the shtar. So do we view the return of the shtar as just that, a return of the shtar, but nothing more? Or do we view the return of the shtar as not just a return of the shtar, but a return of the matana itself as well? So Rav Shimon Gamliel holds, when you return the shtar, that is a return of the matana as well. The shtar represents the entire matana. And the Chachamim say, no, the matana stays by Shimon. Even though he gives back the shtar, he's only giving back a shtar, he's not giving back a matana. So the Gemara discusses this machlokas. My time is Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's interesting, the whole daf is actually going to discuss a brisa that we bring up parenthetically to this machlokas. This machlokas we're going to spend 5 lines on. And then the rest of the daf, till we get to the Mishnah, Kufayin Amud Beis, is going to be a discussion of a brisa that's brought up parenthetically because of how we explain this machlokas. But anyway, my time is Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why would Rav Shimon Gamliel hold that just because you return the shtar, that is considered a return of the matana itself? So Amar Ravasi, Nasa ka'omer lo sadezu nesunelach kol zman shashtar biyadcha. We treat it that when you give a shtar matana to somebody, we view it as if you're saying, this matana should belong to you so long as you keep the shtar. As long as you're holding on to the shtar, that's how long this matana belongs to you. As soon as you no longer have the shtar, this matana doesn't belong to you either anymore. So that's how. That's why Rabbi Shmuel Gamliel holds the return of the shtar is the same as the return of the matana. Maskefla Rabba ihachi. So says Rabba. Wait a second. Nignavu avidami. If holding on to the shtar is the only thing that entitles Shimon to the matana, so what if Shimon loses the shtar? What if the shtar gets stolen from him? So now he's not holding on to the shtar. So does that mean he's no longer the owner of the matana? Reuven can come in and say, okay, it's mine again. Well, what do you mean it's yours? You gave it to me. Yeah, I know I gave it to you, but you lost your shtar. Once you lost your shtar, now it's mine again. That doesn't make any sense. How could that possibly be the case? So says the Gemara, Ella Amar Rabba. So Rabba says, no, we have to understand the machlokas between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim in a totally different way. And this is what's going to lead us into our side discussion. He says, Ella Amar Rabba ba'osios niknos b'mesira kamiflagi. The real machlokas over here is the famous sugya of osios niknos b'mesira. That if, let's say, a shtar halva, let's say you have a shtar that says that Reuven owes Shimon $100. So Shimon's got the shtar that says that Reuven owes him $100. Shimon then gives that shtar to Levi. So did Shimon just give a piece of paper to Levi? Or did Shimon give a halva'a to Levi? I mean, did Shimon give the right to collect $100 from Reuven to Levi? Right? Our osios niklos b'mesira alone, just by giving over the shtar, is that which is written in the shtar also understood to be transferred. Right? So that's the... that's the discussion. Or do you have to write a separate shtar to be makna the shtar? Right? A separate shtar on the shtar. So that's what the machlokas really is about over here. It's osios niklos b'mesira. Rav Shimon Gamliel savar, osios niklos b'mesira. Rav Shimon Gamliel holds osios are niklos b'mesira. So if Shimon has a shtar that says that Reuven gave him a matana, Shimon gives back the shtar. He's not just giving back a piece of paper. He's giving back whatever it says in there. And it says a piece of land. So he's giving back the piece of land or whatever the matana was to Reuven. Rabbanan Savri, the Rabbanan say no. Ain osios niknos b'mesira. Osios alone are not niknos b'mesira. You cannot acquire that which is written in the shtar just by giving the shtar itself right back to Reuven. And that's why giving the shtar itself back to Reuven is meaningless. That's the explanation of this brisa with the machlokas from Shimon Gamliel and Rabbanan. Now, parenthetical to that, the Gemara says, well, we have another brisa that may also relate to osios niknos b'mesira. This second brisa that we're going to quote, for the rest of this Amud, we're actually going to suggest 5 different interpretations of this brisa. The first of those interpretations relates to osios niknos b'mesira. The other 4 do not, but you know that's the way Talmud Bavli works, that we go from, we jump around from one topic to another. That's what the Netziv writes in his Hakdama to the Sheiltos, where he describes the difference in style between the Talmud Bavli and the Talmud Yerushalmi. He says, the Talmud Yerushalmi, you'll notice, if you ever open up a page of Talmud Yerushalmi, even without learning it, you'll notice right away that there's something very different between Yerushalmi and Bavli, besides for language, is that in Yerushalmi it will have the halacha and it will say, it will have a paragraph of Gemara, next Mishnah. Paragraph of Gemara, Next Mishnah. You don't have these 10, 12 dapim of Gemara between Mishnayos and Talmud Yerushalmi, right? It would be much easier to do Daf Yomi Yerushalmi in that sense, harder in other senses. But so the Netziv says, why is that? So he says the style of learning in Eretz Yisrael was very much to the point. It was always very direct. And that's because he attributes it to a certain siyata d'shmaya of Avir de Eretz Yisrael Machkim. He attributes it to a certain siyata d'shmaya in cutting to the core of an issue very quickly in Eretz Yisrael. Whereas Talmud Bavli, because they didn't have that special siyata d'shmaya, they had to work through it in order to be able to get to the bottom of things. And that's how the Netziv explains the Gemara at the very end of Maseches Ksubos, where the Gemara says that B'nai Eretz Yisrael are twice as good as B'nai Bavel, but someone who goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, is twice as good as the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So he says, what's it talking about? He said, it's talking and learning. That the B'nai Eretz Yisrael have a Siyata D'Shmaya, that's better than the B'nai Bavel, don't have a Siyata D'Shmaya. But if someone comes from Bavel who's trained in the ways of being Mefalpel and figuring it out and working through it all and connecting things and is able to do it on his own, and then you throw the Siyata D'Shmaya on top of that, that's even better than the B'nai Eretz Yisrael. So that's how the Netziv explains in the Hakdama to the Shilta. So I think it's in the first Hakdama. He has three different Hakdamas to his Perush on the Shilta. It's like 50 pages of Hakdamas. So good luck finding, but it must be toward the beginning because there's no way I made it through all of them anyway. So it's got to be toward the beginning. So anyway, so says the Gemara, Tanu Rabban, we have this other braisa, Habali, don b'shtar b'chazaka, nidon b'shtar divi Rebbe. If someone comes to Beis Din and he says, look, this land is mine, and the way I can prove it's mine is that, number one, I have a shtar, number two, I have a chazaka. So Rebbe says, we're not interested in your chazaka. If you say nidon b'shtar, if you say you have a shtar and a chazaka, show us the shtar. Rav Shmuel Gamliel omer b'chazaka. Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, no, you say you have a shtar and a chazaka? Show us the chazaka, prove to us that you have a chazaka. Now, the word chazaka, Rav Shapta always likes to point out, means four or five different things throughout Shas. Chazaka means cheskos gemul shanim, which the whole third parak of this mesachta was about. Chazaka means nol gadur paratz, the way to be kona karka is chazaka. Chazaka means that I'm currently holding on to something. The fact that something's in my rishus is called a chazaka, even if it hasn't been there for 3 years. The fact that I'm holding on to this watch means I'm muchzak in this watch. Chazaka means ruba delesa kaman. Chazaka in adam perei tochs mano. What's that? It's a ruba delesa kaman. Most people don't pay betochs mano. So what kind of chazaka are we talking about over here? Right, that a guy comes and he says that I have a shtar and I have a chazaka. So pashtus is, we're talking about cheskas gemul shanim. We're going to see, not according to all the interpretations, but pashtus is, we're talking about cheskas gemul shanim. A guy comes and says, this land is mine, and I have the shtar to prove it, and I have a chazaka, meaning I don't even need a shtar. I'm muchzuk in this land for gemul shanim, so you don't even need a shtar, because I'm allowed to have lost my shtar by now, after being muchzuk for gemul shanim. So Rebbe holds that we're interested in the shtar, and Rav Shmuel Gamliel says, no, we're interested in the chazaka. If you take a look at Rashbam, Rav Shmuel Gamliel Omer b'chazaka, l'fi perish ha'amoraim shelfanenu, yesh me'am shetzarek l'farish l'abshimun d'kamar b'chazaka v'lo b'shtar, v'yesh shetzarek l'farish af b'chazaka v'kolshkein b'shtar. We're going to find, as we said, five different interpretations of this braisa. Depending which of the five interpretations we accept, Rav Shmuel Gamliel might be saying that chazaka alone is what we need, and not the shtar. The shtar will not help him. And or in other interpretations, which would suggest that Rav Shmuel Gamliel is saying not only would shtar help him, chazaka would also help him, right? That it's unclear exactly how to interpret Rav Shmuel Gamliel, and it will depend on how we which interpretation of this brisa from the upcoming Gemara we accept, whether he means only chazaka or even chazaka. Based on that, Rashbam says there are those svarim that had a girsa where the Gemara itself fleshes out on this brisa. The brisa itself says the chazaka v'lo b'shtar im af b'chazaka. They had such an extra line that the Gemara itself says on this brisa that Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds af b'chazaka, that b'shtar and b'chazaka. Rashbam says we have to throw out that line. We have to erase that girsa, because we're going to see the five interpretations, some of them would work with that line, that Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds shtar or chazaka, others won't work with that line, and therefore we have to remove that line. In fact, in our Gemara, it's already removed, right? That's based on the girsa of the Rashbam. Tosafos says, no, you can keep it, because the last of the five interpretations of the Gemara on this brisa is going to fit well with that line. So even though there are several interpretations that do not, as long as the maskana fits with the line that Rabbi Shimon Liel holds, star is good enough and chazaka is good enough, or chazaka is good enough, that's enough to be able to keep the girsa. Tosfos also interestingly points out that sometimes you have parallel sugyas in Shas, right, where the Gemara will say the same basic few lines, you know, in two different places. And he says, just because in one place it will have that line doesn't mean in the other place they had it also. Meaning they were learning a similar Masara, but in the Beis Medrash where they were learning Periket Pashut, it could be that they didn't have such a Masara that they had to say Af B'Chazaka. But in Sanhedrin, where the same exact sugya comes up, it is proper to be Gores Af B'Chazaka. Right? It could be that that just because there are parallel sugyas, we don't always have to make them conform to each other. There could be differences in parallel sugyas. It's a very important note in terms of just how to learn Gemara, right? That sometimes you want to make them conform to each other. I mean, that's what Bali Atos is generally doing, you know, overall, to make things conform, but the girsaos don't have to conform. So there could be a struggle in this Gemara based on something that would be simple if we had a girsa that appears in a different Gemara. Does not mean that our Gemara has to accept that girsa. Okay, says the Gemara. So we have this machlokas. A guy comes to Beis and says, I have a shtar and a chazaka. So Rebbe says, we're only interested in the shtar. Rebbe Shmuel says, either that we're interested only in his chazaka or even in his chazaka. So explanation number one of this machlokas, Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar. So B'mai Kamifli, what are they arguing about? Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar, Ba'osios Niknos B'Mesira Kamifli. Our discussion, they're arguing about Osios Niknos B'Mesira. Rav Shimon Gamliel Savar Ein Osios Niknos B'Mesira. Rav Shimon Gamliel would hold Osios are not Niknos B'Mesira, and therefore you need your Eidei Chazaka, because saying that I have a shtar is worthless, doesn't really do anything for you, because that does not prove ownership of the actual field. V'Rebbe Savar Osios Niknos B'Mesira, and Rebbe held no, Osios are Niknos B'Mesira. So once you have a shtar, so that's, if you have a shtar matana, that's it. It's done. That proves that you are the rightful owner of the field. That's the discussion. That's the machlokas. So says the Gemara. So it turns out this machlokas and this brisa right here is the same topic. They're arguing about the same topic as the machlokas that in the brisa that we started with about a person giving a matana and being machzir the shtar matana. Only one problem: the opinions are reversed, right? Now, in the first price, it was Rabbi Shimon Gamliel against the Rabbanan. Over here, it's Rabbi Shimon Gamliel against Rebbe. So the fact that the opinions are reversed is not going to be a problem for the Rebbe / Rabbanan side, because Rebbe doesn't have to conform with Rabbanan. But it's going to be a problem for the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel side. So Amalei Abaye, Im Kain, Plukta L'damar. So he says, wait a second, if you're going to say that that's pshat in this brisa number two, you, Rav Dimi, are going to say it's pshat, that's pshat in brisa number two, that goes against what Rabba said to explain brisa number one. Amrlei v'tiflog. So he says, okay, good. So it goes against what Rabbi said to explain brisa number one. Doesn't really bother me that much. I'm allowed to argue on Rabbi. Remember, I'm an Amora too. Right? That's something that's not a problem for an Amora to argue on another Amora. I'm reminded when I was in Keren Biavna, someone asked Rav Blachman once, you know, Rav Blachman said, Ahom Ahalich in the Gemara, and someone said, what are you going to do with Rav Elchanan? He said, I'm going to do with Rav Elchanan. I'll light a candle for him. What do you want me to do for him with Rav Elchanan? I mean, he's an Achron. Okay, so an Achron. I could argue on an Achron also. It's not against the rules to argue. So he says, okay, Rabba was very great, right? I acknowledge that, Rav Dimi says, but I'm allowed to argue. It's no problem. Amrlei, so Abai says, no, that there is a problem here. He says, Hachi kaminalach, this is the problem. Masnis lo mitarta elik de mitarta mar. The only way to explain brisa number one is the way Rabbi explained it. Unless you're going to come up with another interpretation of brisa number one, you better not explain brisa number two to conflict with Rabbi's interpretation of brisa number one. Vim came, kashadar mashungum liel, dar mashungum liel. And if you don't come up with an alternate interpretation of brisa number one, you have a stira in Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Does Rav Shimon Gamliel hold Osios Niknos B'Mesira the way Rabba interpreted it? Or does Rav Shimon Gamliel hold Ein Osios Niknos B'Mesira the way you interpret brisa number two? So says the Gemara, okay, you're right. We have to back up and change our interpretation of brisa number two. So now we have our second interpretation of brisa number two, of the machlokas about the guy who walks into court and says, I have a shtar and a chazaka, what are we interested in? Are we interested in a shtar or is chazaka? El amar Abaye, hacha mayaskina, and the case is as follows. Gon shenimtza echon mehen karov opasul. The guy walks into Bezin with a shtar and he claims he has a chazaka. Problem with his shtar is one of the signatures on his shtar is his brother. Or one of the signatures on the shtar is a guy who has a lot of money riding on today's big game. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. But he has a lot of money riding on, so he's a gambler. So he has, so he's a pasul aid. So that's the problem with the shtar. Ubeplutta drei mei of Reb Lazar kamiflugi. And the machlokas is the same machlokas as the well-known machlokas in Maseches Gittin between Reb Meir and Reb Lazar. Rebbe savor like Reb Lazar, damrei de mesira karti. Rebbe holds like Reb Lazar that we don't care about signatures in the shtar. The shtar doesn't need signatures. It's edim mesira that make a shtar work. It's the edim that see the shtar being handed over from one guy to another, and therefore the signature is good. Karov apostle doesn't really make a difference. We're still interested in the shtar. Why are we interested in the shtar? Because as long as they're edim mesira, that's good enough. Rav Shmuel Gamliel savor like Rabbi Meir, damrei de chasima karti. Rav Shmuel Gamliel holds like Rabbi Meir, who says, no, we are interested in the signatures of the shtar. Those are the critical signatures that make the shtar effective. And therefore, if one of the signatures in the shtar is a karav apostle, we're going to need to go on to our next raya, because the shtar is not going to work. With a bad edim chasima in the shtar is going to be cancelled out. We're going to need to look for another raya, and therefore, if he claims he has a chazaka, bring us your chazaka, because the shtar is not good enough. Wait a second. Reb Lazar says edi mesira karti, which means that if the shtar doesn't have any signatures, that would be fine. But Reb Lazar himself agrees that if the shtar, if you decided to put signatures in the shtar, which you didn't need to do. But if you decided to put signatures in the shtar, and we know that those signatures are pasul, Reb Lazar would say that's called mezuyif mitocho. That is pasul. Even though you could have just relied on edim mesira, when you didn't just rely on edim mesira, and you put it in edim chasima, and they were pasul, that's going to ruin the shtar. Better to have nothing than to have a pasul aid. So that's Reb Lazar's shita. So how can you say that the whole explanation of Rebbe in our Braisa, that we look at the shtar, is we're talking about a case where it's mezuyif mitocho, where one of the edim is pasul, and Rebbe says, I don't care, I'm still interested in the shtar, because it's the edim is sira that are critical. No, Rabbi Lazar, who holds of edim mesira, will say that if it's mezuyif mitocho, then you've got a problem. So it doesn't fit. Rabbi wouldn't fit with Rabbi Lazar. So Ella, third interpretation of our brisa. Ella amar Rabbi Avina, hakol modim. Everyone agrees. Shem kasav bo huskaknu leedusan shel edus v'nimtzei seedusan mezuyefes shu pasul k'de Rabbi Abba. You're right. Everyone would agree. Like Rabbi Abba said, that if you put Edim in the shtar, and it says, and you wrote the Beis Din wrote a kiyum on it saying, yeah, we need these Edim, we're relying on these Edim, the Edei Chasima, and it turns out that the Edei Chasima are mezuyof, that there's a problem with them, that everyone would agree that it's possible. Like Rabbi Abba said, if it's mezuyof mitocho, everyone would agree that it's pasul. Lo nechlukuel b'shtar shein alav edim klal. The real machlokas now brisa is a guy comes and says, I have a shtar and I have a chazaka. We look at the shtar, there are no signatures on the shtar. We say, that's your shtar. So Rabbi says, that's fine. You have edim asira, so he'll find his edim asira, and that will be good enough. And the Rabbanan will say, no, the edi chasima karti, we're interested in edi chasima. You have no signatures. That shtar is garbage. We need to move on to your next raya. You have a chazaka? Let's look at that, because the shtar is worthless. The Rebbe savlak Reb Lazar damrei de mesira karti, Reb Shmuel Gamliel savlak Reb Meir damrei de chasima karti. That's the machlokas. It is about edi mesira, edi chasima. What changed between interpretation number 2 and interpretation number 3 is not what the machlokas was about. It's about the case. It's not about the halacha of edi mesira versus edi chasima. It's about what case are we talking about. Are we talking about a case where a guy has a shtar that is no edim at all, which is the third interpretation of the Braisa, as opposed to the second interpretation, which is a case where the guy has edei chasima, but they're pasul, right? That's what changed between 2 and 3. We're not changing what the yesod ha-machlokas is between Rebbe and the Rabbanan, and Rav Shmuel Gamliel. We're changing what the case that they're arguing about is. Now, why is it that if it's mezuyif mitocho, it's pasul? What's the problem? So one of the edim is, if let's assume you hold like Reb Lazar, edim is sirakarti. We're only really interested in Edi Mesira. They're the ones that make the shtar binding. So when there's signatures, and it happens to be my brother who signed the shtar, why does that ruin it? Why should that ruin the shtar? I didn't need that signature in the first place. Why is it worse to have a relative sign a shtar than to have nobody sign a shtar? Okay, you don't want to believe my brother? Don't believe him. Pretend he's not there. Why is it worse when he's signing a shtar than to have nobody sign a shtar? So there seems to be a three-way machlokas rishonim in Maseches Gittin on this topic. Tosos Maseches Gittin on Dav Dalid Amar Aleph, Dibra Maskel Moda, says that the psul is Dilma Asi Lemismach Alayu Lahotzi Mamon Al Pihem. We're afraid that if these were accepted Edim in a shtar, and we allowed the shtar to take effect, although the shtar takes effect on the koach of the Edim Asira, but once these people were allowed to sign on a shtar, we might come to trust these Edim in a different context. It's Gzeira D'Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are concerned that if these Edim were allowed to sign on a shtar, and turns out they're gamblers, they're psule edus, whatever all the different psulim we're about to learn in Sanhedrin, we might come to trust them in a different context. And we'll be motzi momen al piyam, even though or maybe we're not even gonna look carefully for the Edim Masira. Maybe even in this case we're gonna be motzi mamon al piyam, and we're not gonna look for the Edim Masira carefully enough. Rashi in Gittin says that it's possible dil makasi the mimsri ba'apayu mismachalayu. No, the concern is you might use these Edim as Edim Masira as well. That you're going to, very often, the Edei Chasimu are also the Edei Mesira. They're the guys who witnessed the whole thing, they signed it, then they watched it being given. So we're afraid that you're going to use these people as the Edei Mesira as well, not just that you're going to trust them for future Eduyos, or whatever it might be. But the Rashba has a totally different interpretation. Not a Gezeira, maybe you'll come to do this. He says, no, the Rashba holds that even according to Rabbi Elazar, that Edei Mesira are critical. So you don't need Edei Chasima. But this is similar to Nimtzeach Reim Karv Apostle, right? If I bring a set of five witnesses to testify about something, and they all come together to testify, and one of them is Karov Apostle, Edusan Betela. Says the Rashba, I don't need Edei Chasima, but when I attach Edei Chasima to the Shtar, I'm making them part of the Edus, even though I could have done without Edei Chasima, and real Edus is only Edei Mesira. If I have Edei Mesira, and then I add on Edei Chasima, I'm making the Edei Chasima part of the Edus. And therefore, if one of them is Karav Apostle, Edusan Betela of everybody, they have the Koach to be Mevatel, even the Edei Mesira. And that's obviously a tremendous Chiddush, because they don't have the Koach to be believed. In a typical case of five Edim, I bring five Edim to Beis Din, so had I only brought two, and the two that I brought weren't Apostle, they would be believed. So now, if one of those guys is going to be Apostle, they can ruin everybody, because they could have been believed on their own also. The Rashba's Chiddush is that by Edei Chasima, that's not true. According to Rabbi Elazar, I bring Edei Chasima, right, alone, without Edei Mesira, they're worth nothing. But once I have Edei Mesira, and then I add Edei Chasima on top of that, now they're empowered to ruin the Edei Mesira. They're empowered through their own psul to ruin the Edei Mesira. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter, fourth explanation. Maybe the machlokas Rabbi Yom Shemuel over here is if a person is moda that he wrote a shtar, does it still need a kiyum? The Rebbe suffer moda b'shtar shakasva in tzarech l'kaimo, Rabbi Shemuel suffer tzarech l'kaimo. Rebbe holds someone who's moda that the shtar was written does not need a kiyum, and therefore the shtar is going to be good enough. And Rav Shimon Liel will hold, no, you still need a kiyum, and therefore the shtar will not be good enough. But wait a second, we learned just the opposite. We learned that Rabbi Yerushalayim will hold just the opposite. To Tanya, we have a brisa. Shnayim adukin b'shtar. If you have two people grabbing onto a shtar, Malva Omer Shalihu, the one who lent the money, says, this is mine, v'nafal mimeni, and I dropped it, umatzasu, and I just found it, and this guy's trying to rip it out of my hands. But this shtar that says that he owes me $1,000, I'm still supposed to have it, because he still owes me $1,000. V'lova Omer, the lova says, shalacha, yes, it was yours, but upratavlach, I paid you back $1,000, and therefore the shtar belongs to me now. So what's the halacha? Yiskayim hashtar b'chosm of divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds, well, you get the signatures on the shtar verified, and then give it back to the malve. Once the signatures are verified, so it's the malve shtar. Rav Shmuel Liel omer yachloku. Rav Shmuel Liel says, no, you just split the difference. Va'avinun ba, and the Gemara in Bava Metzia asks on that, how could there be such a machlokas? V'lesle the Rebbe, how could Rebbe say that once you're mekayim the signatures on the shtar, you just give it back to the Malda? Now he's going to be able to collect the full $1,000. What, does Rebbe not hold Haditnan, the very first mission in Bava Metzia, Shnayim Otsin Betal, Zomar Ani Metzia, that two guys holding on to Italis, each one claiming they're the one that found it. Each one has to take a shvua that they own at least half of it. We don't make each one take a shvua that they own the whole thing, because then we're basically asking them to lie. Meaning one of them we know is for sure lying, and we can't stomach having two people take a shvua where we know for sure one of them is going to be lying. So we make them take a shvua that they each have no less than half. And what's the din then? V'yachloku! You split it. And here Rebbe's saying, so it's not a talis, it's a shtar. And they're both holding on to it. And you're going to say that one guy gets the whole thing. The Malv gets the whole shtar? How could that be? So Va'amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Rava Amar Rav Nachman says, In Bav Metzia, Mekuyam Dekuliam Lo Pligi Diachloku. Now, if the shtar is Mekuyam, when Rebbe says that you're Mekayim B'shtar B'chosmav, doesn't mean you're Mekayim B'shtar B'chosmav and then you give it back to the Malva. No, you're Mekayim B'shtar B'chosmav, and then instead of the Malva being owed $1,000, he's owed $500. That's all Rebbe meant. Rebbe never meant that you give back. What Rebbe said was, what Rebbe's chiddush was, not that he gets the whole thing and that you're not going to divide it. No, Rebbe would also say he divided. Rebbe's chiddush was that you have to be mekayim it even to get that far. Even for the malvut to be able to get, to be entitled to $500, you need to be mekayim the shtar. Ki pligi b'she'inu mekuyam. The machlokas is when you don't have, when it's not mekuyam. Rebbe Savar Moda b'shtar shekasu tzarech lekaimo. Rebbe says even though you were moda that you wrote the shtar, it still needs a kiyum. Even though the malva says yes, I wrote the shtar, but I still and that's why I'm owed all the money. Right? I'm sorry. The lova says I wrote the shtar and I did owe the money, but I paid it back. Still, it needs a kiyum. V'mekayim le, and if you are mekayim it, gavi palga. Rebbe will say, yeah, you get to collect half. V'lo, and if you're not mekayim it, chaspa bialmahu. The malva is entitled to absolutely nothing if you're not mekayim the shtar. Rav Shulam Liel Savar, Rav Shulam Liel holds modu b'shtar shekasvu. Ein sarach l'kaimo. Once he's moda that he wrote the shtar, it doesn't require a kiyum. The achloku, you divide, you split the difference even without any kiyum. So don't you see that Rebbe and Rav Shimon Gamliel hold the exact opposite in terms of moda b'shtar shekasvu than we want to interpret our brisa saying? So says Gemara, epoch. Okay, so switch the shitos in Bava Metzia. If you switch the shitos in Bava Metzia, then it will conform with the shitos in our brisa. Right? The Gemara sometimes comes on to such an answer. Switch the shitos in Bava Metzia. Now the Gemara says, yeah, but we don't like to switch things around so much, so let's come up with another interpretation of our brisa. Again, we're still working on our brisa that says a guy walks into Bezin and says, this land is mine and I have two proofs. Number one, I have a shtar. Number two, I have 3 years of chazaka. Right? So which one do we listen to? Which one are we interested in? The shtar, that's Rebbe's opinion, or the chazaka, that's Rav Shimon Gamliel's opinion. The Iba Yisema, so maybe the machlok is as follows. The Olam Lo Tebuch, you don't have to mess around with Girsos and Bava Metzia. Leave Bava Metzia alone. Elahacha B'levarika Mifli. Over here, it's a totally different discussion. Over here, they're arguing about whether one needs to clarify a claim that was made. Ki Ad Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, have a masik by Zuzi Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef was owed money by Rabbi Abba. Also came to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. They went to Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Amar Pratich b'fnei Ploni Ploni. Rabbi Abba said, I already paid you in front of Reuven and Shimon. Amar le Rabbi Yitzchak Yevo Ploni Ploni V'yidu. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, good! In front of Reuven and Shimon, let's see him. Bring Reuven and Shimon here. Let them be made that they saw that you paid him back. Amar le Ilo Asu Lama Hemnina. So Rabbi Abba says, why do I have to bring them? If they don't come, I'm not going to be believed anyway to say I paid back. Right? We said that if you borrow money from somebody with Edom, you don't have to pay back with Edom. So let's say I didn't claim that that I paid back in front of Edom. I'd be believed anyway, because I don't have to pay back in front of Edom. So why now are you making me bring the Edom that I claim I had? So So he turned to Rabbi Abba, he said, you're the one who said this. Don't you? This is your psak. Damar Rabbi Abba, Amar Rav Ad Barav, Amar Rav, Harmel Chaveru Pratich B'fnei Ploni Yiploni, Tzarech Sheyavo, Ploni Yiploni, V'yidu. You're the one who said that whenever you make a claim that you paid back in front of Edim, you need to bring those Edim. Even though had you never made such a claim, you could have been believed to say I paid back without Edim, and you would have been believed to say you paid back. Once you're claiming that there were Edim, let me see them. Let's see the Edom. You're the one who said that. And now you're telling me, you're going to try to weasel out and tell me you don't need the Edom here. Right? This is a tremendous muster. Sometimes our own shitos, but when we're involved, when we're one of the Baalei Davar, very difficult to even to be objective about it. And even our own shitos, there's the story, who's the story about? I think with the Nesivis, that the Nesivis had a din Torah with somebody. No, the story of the Nesivis had a din Torah with somebody, and I guess they didn't know who he was, and it was in some town that he wasn't from, as many of these stories go, and the judge, the Dayanim, ruled against him, and he said, how could you rule against me? And they said, well, there's nothing in the Nesivis against you, right? And he realized that when you're a Baal Davar, you can't see things clearly anymore. So anyway, so, Amalei, v'amar Rav Gidol Amarav, halacha k'divar Mishum Gamliel, didn't Rav Gidol Amarav say that the halacha falls from Mishum Gamliel anyway? So from Mishum Gamliel, meaning if that's what the machlokas is about over here, the Mishum Gamliel says that it's okay, you don't need to show me your shtar as long as you have a chazaka. I mean, that's how we're explaining the braisa. Guy comes to Beis and says, I have a shtar and a chazaka. Well, all you really need is chazaka. You don't really need a shtar. But once he makes the claim that he has a shtar also, do we then say, okay, if you say you have it, we need to see it now. Right? You didn't have to say you had it. You could have just relied on the chazaka. Once you say you have it, then we need to see the shtar. That's Rebbe Shita. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says, no, af bechazaka. You could bring the shtar, that's good. You don't want to bring the shtar? Bring the chazaka, whichever one you want. Right? The chazaka alone is good enough also. So he says, but don't we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel that I don't need to bring? I mean, we don't paskin like me. He says, you're right. I hold that we have to even bring if I claim I paid back in front of Edom, you have to bring the Edom. But don't we paskin like Rav Shimon Gamliel anyway? So aren't I wrong? Va'af Rebbe lo amar. Even Rebbe who disagrees with Rebbe Shimon Gamliel doesn't really hold that there's any problem with the taina that you have a chazaka. He just says that once you make a claim that you have more than that, you need to bring more than that. But, you know, if that's the whole strength of Rebbe's argument, so shouldn't we, doesn't that lead you to believe we should pass on like Rebbe Shimon Gamliel? Because after all, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says, what's more logical? That if I have a taina that's normally believed, the fact that I'm making an extra taina on top of that should not require me to verify that extra taina. Amalei, I know nami levar kamin. He says, no, we hold like Rebbe, that you need to be mevarah, that if you say that you brought, that you have more proof than is required, once you're making that claim, verify that extra proof. We have to be mevarah as well. Now, how do we paskin over here? So the Rashbam writes, even though halacha karebi mechavero, Baha Hilchsuk Rebbe Shimon. Even though typically the halacha is like Rebbe Mechavero, typically we're going to pass on like Rebbe over an individual who he disagrees with. Over here we're going to pass on like Rebbe Shimon, that it's Ein Sarach Levarer, Kedam Rav Gidol Amarav. Like Rav Gidol Amarav says. Fine, new Mishnah. Misha para mixas chava. Let's say someone was owed $1,000, but Reuven owed Shimon $1,000, he paid him back 500. So what do you do with the shtar now? Shimon's holding on to his shtar. It says he's owed 1,000, he's really only owed 500. Rabbi Yudom or Yachlif. Rabbi Yudom says, write a new one. You have to rip up that shtar, write a $500 shtar back from the date of the original loan. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Yichtov Shover. Rabbi Yossi says, no, let him just write a receipt that he received $500. So this way, if Reuven paid Shimon $500, so Shimon will still have the shtar that says he's owed 1,000, but Reuven will have a receipt that says he's already paid 500 of it. So when they come to Bezin later on, Shimon will pull out the shtar that says I'm owed 1,000. Reuven will pull out his receipt that says he already paid 500, and then he'll have to pay only 500 more. Amrav Yehuda nimtzes et sarach liyos shomer shovrim min achbarim. So that's not fair. The part of the original deal was not that Reuven was going to have to watch over anything. Now Reuven's going to have to watch over his shover, make sure to protect it, otherwise he's going to be out $500. Amlo Rabbi Yossi says, Kach yafalov, lo yor kochur shel zeh. That's not so bad, it's okay. He's the one that borrowed money in the first place. Right? There's a concept that evel lo v'leish melve. You borrow money. If you borrow money, you can handle the responsibility of watching over the receipt that you paid back some of the money. And if you can't have that level of responsibility, then it's your problem. But we can expect a person to bear that level of responsibility. Okay, well, Bez Hashem, start tomorrow from the Gemara. Thank you.